Reading from Ardha Chanting, Chapter 5, entitled Shuddha Nam. Of course, in the previous chapter, Chapter 4, we're talking about Namabhas, and we discussed about Namaparads and Anarthas. Quotation, and from Madhurya Kadambini. Vishwanath is saying, at the level of Nishta, and we say Anartha Nivritti, then Nishta, when one comes to the level of Nishta and devotion, this level eradicates most of the anarthas, but not all. The state, and when one comes to the stage of Bhav, it nullifies all the anarthas but a few. At Bhav, ecstasy, only those hindrances caused by offending great Vaishnavas remain. So this is this chanting of Namabhas, and then will take us up to this liberation platform. But then when we chant Shuddha Nam, we'll come to the level above. But even at the level above, we're chanting Shuddha Nam, there's a tendency, there can be a tendency, you can say, like a seed, because of the jiva's basic envy. Icha dvesha smutina dvanda mohina bharata. This dvesha envy that constitutes the conditional jiva's consciousness. Because of this inherent envy, there's still a tendency to become envious of some Vaishnava and speak badly, even to the level of bhava. Kind of surprising. So the idea of Vaishnava para doesn't leave so easily. But the other anarthas, ignorance about sadhana, the ignorance about the sadhya, the seva aparads and nama aparads, so many types of aparads and anarthas, they all go. With Namabhas and with Shuddha Nam, beginning of Shuddha Nam, we enter the level above. But he's saying that even at the level above, only those hindrances caused by offenses against great Vaishnavas remain. Astonishingly, even at the level of prema, love of God, which destroys all unwanted habits, which arise from offenses, devotee is still not from the danger that these anarthas. A devotee is still not free from the danger that those anarthas can have a tendency to reoccur. Although, at the level of prema, a devotee is absolutely free from anarthas, and ultimately, when he says, ultimately, when the devotee leaves this material world and goes to the spiritual world, then he's totally free. He's totally free from anarthas and aparads. Shivaram also quotes this in his book on page 392. So it's not an easy thing. Jed Bharat was on a level of bhav, but the acharyas say that the bhav he was on a level was Aishwarya Mai Bhakti. In other words, we read in Nectar of Devotion, there's 9 symptoms of bhav. Not to waste a moment without being Krishna conscious, and all these symptoms are there. But there's Aishwarya Mai Bhakti, and there's Madhurya Mai Bhakti. So you can be on a level of bhav, Vaikuntha bhav, Aishwarya Mai Bhakti. And you can be at the level of bhav, which is Madhurya Mai Bhakti, Braj bhav, Braj bhav. And the level of Braj bhav, it is the nature that is Braj bhakti that's being given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One receives, because he's following Anugata, he's Rupa Anuga, he's following specifically the Parishads of Braj, and then he contacts the Srup Shakti. He contacts Sarup Shakti at the level of bhav, which reveals his Sarup, his Siddhadeha. So the Madhurya Mayi Bhakta, who's absorbed in the sweetness of Braj, not just Madhurya Leela, but the sweetness of Braj Bhakti, when he's at the level of bhav, there's much less chance for him to fall down than there is for the Aishwarya Mayi Bhakta. So this Jad Bharat, he didn't know his sarup. Because for the Aishwarya Mayi Bhakta, he doesn't find out his Srup till he leaves this world. It is a secret. And then it's revealed by the Lord when he leaves. But for the Madhurya Mayi Bhakta, it comes before that, even to level. One comes to the level of Ruchi, he gets some idea of his Srup, and then the level of Bhava, it's full manifestation. So he's so much absorbed in another identity. He's so much absorbed in his internal identity that he doesn't, the idea of being attached to a deer. he's actually attached to his Sarup. He knows his Sarup, and he's attached to his Sarup. And part of his bhajan, he's so much developing this abhiman, gopi abhiman, or abhiman, that there's, and there's so much sweetness that he's relishing in Madhurya Mayi Bhakti at the level of Bhav that he cannot be attracted to a deer. So Bharat Maharaj's Bhav is Aishwarya Mayi Bhakti. He was not aware of his Siddhadeha. And he was not doing Sarup Bhajan. He was not doing Astakali Lila Seva. He was Vishnu Bhakta. He is a Vishnu Bhakta. So therefore he had not... because that's the point of Aishwarya, it's grandeur, it's opulence, the sweetness is very less there. So that's one side point. Chapter 5 of Art of Chanting is called Shudanam. The symptoms of Shudanam. Shudanam means chanting the holy name with a favorable attitude while remaining free from all material desire, anyabhilash, and from the coverings of gyan, karma, and so on. To desire the supreme bliss that comes when the transcendental nature of the holy name manifests clearly is not anyabhilash. Sometimes when we read about the wonderful experiences that come when one chants Shudanam, then we may become attracted to that dessert or that fruit, but that itself is also an avilash, desire for something for me. Just like the queens of Dwarka, they were certainly in prem. They had rati, they had attachment to Krishna, but it's called samanjasa rati. There's samartha rati, samanjasa, and sadharani. So in the samanjasa rati, their attachment for Dwarkadish, they had some desire to taste the bliss of serving Dwarkadish. So their rati, their attachment for the Lord was mixed with some desire for themselves. But the gopis' praying, the gopis' love is called samartha. Their only objective was the complete, full objective and purpose, was the pleasure of Krishna. They never calculate, we'll get something from this, or we'll derive something from this. The gopis' attachment, or rati, madhura rati, their staibhav, is called samartha rati. Everything for Krishna. So all kinds of desires apart from that, such as the desire to be free from sins and to gain liberation, are certainly anyabhilash. So we ask the question, okay, we hear about Shudanam, so when will Shudanam manifest? Because Shudanam, it's all the same name. Krishna's name, it's the same name, Radha and Krishna. So there's Namaparad, and then there's Nam Avas, and there's Shudanam. So what's the difference? Same mantra is there, same chanter is there. So the difference is at the level of Shudanam, then you have to act in such a way that the name itself reveals its personal aspect. We can, on our side, we can chant Namaparad. We're quite good at that. And then we can endeavor, by our sincerity, to chant Namavas. That we can do, on our side. But Shudanam we can't chant. That's from their side. We chant. And we chant continually and as much as possible. But Shudanam is not possible. So therefore these prerequisites are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that we have to have feel in such a way and act in such a way and think in such a way that our mental attitude and the position of our mind and heart is so attractive to the name that the name says, yes, here I am. All this time you've been chanting the same name, the same Hare, the same Krishna, the same Ram. And now all of a sudden you realize, oh, this name is Krishna. Krishna is showing himself to me. It's not a word anymore. It's not a mantra. It's not something I have to do. It's not some numbers I count or some order on my head. It's not Guru Agya. It's actually, it's Krishna. Krishna. Namani Namano. So this is he's telling that all kinds of desires. So we can, the desire to be free from sins, because when Rupa Goswami defines Uttam Bhakti, he says, Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Adiravidam, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilam Bhakti Uttama. See, Uttam Bhakti, pure Bhakti, this is the nature, Anya Bilashita, Anya Abilash, no other desires. So then someone might say, that means no desire. Well, then what's the difference between being a devotee and being a Mayavadi? What's the difference between being a Buddhist, Nirvishesh? They have no desire. There's no desire there. And Brahman has no desire. Brahman doesn't have any feelings. Brahman doesn't think. Brahman doesn't feel. Brahman doesn't will. There's no duality. This is Brahman. So when we say Anyabhilash, then, well, it sounds like Uttam Bhakti means Brahman. No desire. So I have to be free from all desire. Then it's Anya Abhilash. So this Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying this Anya Abhilash doesn't exclude all desire. Yes, we can desire to become pure. Yes, we can desire to realize our spiritual body. Yes, we can desire to become the pure servants of Radharani. These are Anya. These are other. But these are not material desires. So we can't, because all these desires are also Anukulya. Krishna Anukulya, yeah, that's part of the definition. First thing is no, and then yama and then niyama. One is the negative side and the other is the positive side. Don't do this, but do this. Don't have material desires. Don't be attracted to karma or jnana, but do this. Act in such a way, Krishna Anushilanam. This is Krishna Anukulya. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Anushilanam means to cultivate, to act, abhyas. Step after step, Anushilam, step after step, moment after moment, act in such a way that it's favorable for Krishna, Krishna Anukulya. So to desire to be pure, that's favorable to Krishna, because Krishna can only be pleased if we're pure, because all his servants are pure. Desire to serve the lotus feet of Radharani, that's also pleasing to Krishna. He does it himself. He also serves Radharani's lotus feet. And if someone has a desire to serve his devotee, then he's very happy. It makes him happy. It's favorable. And so these type of desires, these are what we call devotional desires, which means it's no desire. It's no material desire. And it's not extraneous or separate from Krishna's interest. The reason we have these desires is all about Krishna. Because now we're disqualified from being favorable towards Krishna. We're disqualified from pleasing Krishna because of our material desires. Like the gopis and mandris and coward boys, they have so many desires, thousands of desires to please Krishna. I'm going to make a garland now. When Krishna wakes, I'm going out for a garland. Then after I make the garland, I'm going to grind some chanda. And then I'm going. They have so many desires. But it's all for Krishna's pleasure. Not like, oh, I'm going to do this and get that. And there's none of that. So this is. These are certainly included in Anya Abhilash. Shuddha Nam, or the pure holy name, will never manifest in the presence of Anya Abhilash, material Anya Abhilash. One will not receive Shuddha Nam, receive means it will manifest, as long as he desires the fruits of karma, jnana, yoga, and so on. Shuddha Nam arises from accepting the holy name with only favorable inclinations and rejecting all unfavorable emotions from the heart. With careful deliberation, one can realize that Shuddha Nam is certainly that name which is free from Namaparada and Namabhas. So, in one sense, Shuddha Nam is a little elusive. Like someone might say, well, how do I know if I'm chanting Shuddha Nam? Like our Prajamon, he'll ask this question. How do I know if I chant Shudanam? Because you'll see Krishna. How do you know if you're not chanting Shudanam? You're not seeing Krishna. Okay? Is this clear? Any doubts? So now, what are the requirements to see Krishna? Well, then that's what we already read. Because it's kind of like, you can imagine, you're in a room, and there's windows and there's curtains, big curtains in that room. And you go in that room every day, and maybe it's your bedroom, you sleep. And behind that curtain by the window, there's always a man is always standing there. Some man is always standing there. He's always there all the time. Whenever you sleep, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is, you know, 12 hours a day, whatever you sleep, he's standing behind that curtain. But you come in and you open the window, close the window, you go to sleep. You come in and out of that room every day, so many times. And you never see that man. Then one day you come in the room, and then this man steps out from behind the curtain and says, "Hello. Oh, who is this? Who are you? Where did you come from? Who are you? Oh, I've been here all the time. Since the day you moved into this house and started sleeping in this room, I've been standing behind this curtain. Acha, I didn't smell you, I didn't see you, I didn't hear you, I didn't have any perception. Oh, but I've been here." It was the same way. We're in the room. The room is the chant, the mantra. We're chanting the holy name. But Radha and Krishna are standing behind the curtain. We're not seeing them. And then one day they come, "Oh, Hare Krishna. Oh, Acha, the name is you. You're there." We've been here all the time, but where have you been? You've been covered. You know, there's some curtain separating you and us. What is the curtain? Other desires, other ambitions, other activities. "Oh, I want to be a devotee, but I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to get this, and I have to get that. And my kids, and you know, and my husband, and my job, and so many mys, and my, and oh my." So Krishna says, "Okay, cool, I'm here. I'm just behind the curtain. Keep chanting. Prepare yourself. Slowly. Or quickly. As you like. I'm here." The name. So it's not that you're chanting, when you're chanting Nama Prad, then there's a different name you chant when you're chanting Nama Bas. And when you chant Shudana, oh, it's a new mantra. It's the same mantra. Same Krishna. The divine descent of pure Nam. Because this is what it's all about. It's a descent. This word avatar means descent. You say Kali Kalira Dharma, Nam Rup Avatar. Nam Rup Avatar. So, chanting the pure name is never a mechanical act that a skillful speaker with correct intonation can evoke. The ability to chant Shudanam is an act of divine grace bestowed upon those devotees who have saturated their minds and hearts with devotion. Whether or not there is a manifestation of the divine through matter is dependent on the spiritual strength of the person chanting the holy name. This principle of spiritual competency is an important feature of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's teachings. When one is free from anarthas and aparads, Shudanam, which is Krishna himself, descends into one's heart from Vraja Gokul. Shudanam appears with the descent of Shuddha Sattva, which is the personal divine potency, it's also called Sarup Shakti, of Sri Krishna, that also resides in the hearts of Krishna's eternal associates. Shuddha Sattva, or Sarup Shakti, is a combination of two other spiritual energies called Samvit Shakti, divine wisdom, and Ladini Shakti, divine love and bliss. Generally, the Srup Shakti passes from the heart of one or more of Krishna's eternal associates into the heart of a sadhaka. At the stage of Shudanam, one no longer commits any aparad. The holy name is chanted only for Krishna Prem. There is no other desire in the heart except acting for the pleasure of Krishna. Shudanam is the perfectional stage of chanting, where a devotee sees Krishna personally dancing on his tongue. By such pure chanting, one realizes his spiritual form and attains the goal of Krishna Prem. Acharyas confirm that when Shudanam appears, the divine couple dance together on the Ras Mandal tongue of the pure devotee. In other words, they only dance in Ras Mandala, which is an area or a platform or a circular area which is above the ground. Sometimes it's said it's mounted on some, it's like actually like a disc, something like a platform. Sometimes it's described like that. It's not just the ground. It's actually a dance platform above the ground. So the tongue is like that. It's floating in the mouth. And when we chant Shirunam, they dance on the Ras Mandala of the tongue. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potency, Radharani, are dancing on the tongue of the devotee. That's what Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verse 8, purport. It's quite a profound statement from this confounder. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. It means they're the same. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potency, Radharani, are dancing on the tongue of the devotee. As soon as we get advanced in the chanting of Hare Krishna, then we can gradually realize that actually God is with us. God is dancing on my tongue in the form of sound. You see? It's Prabhupada's lecture in 1966. In May. It wasn't even in the ISKCON yet. ISKCON was incorporated in July 14th of 1966. Well, Prabhupada started preaching in New York in 1965. First in Butler, then to New York. So here he's preaching. He's telling the hippies and the happies and the hoopies or whatever they were, and hopies. He was telling them, listen, this is it. Because everyone's into dancing in those days. Maybe these days also, but they were dancing in the street. They had songs like that also. They said they're dancing in the street. They used to have block, what we call block parties in New York City. This is in the 60s and 70s. When a lot of you weren't even born. it was called block. Block means a block of houses, and then there's a street. There's a street here, and there's a street here, and there's a street here. And there's 100 houses from block to block. It's like 300 meters or something. That's one block. Block A, block B, block C. So block party, they would get permission because everyone was so much into partying in America. And they would do it illegally. So then the police said, okay, you have to take permission if you want to have a block party. So then they would take permission. And then they would block off the streets. And cars have to go a different way around. And they put a block there. And they, like a marriage party type thing, they put up decorations. And that big band would come there. And then they get all kinds of beverages and herbs and spices and other things. Sugar and spice and everything nice. And then the band would play and everybody would dance in the streets. So everybody would come out from their apartments because it was hot, especially in the summer. Usually they'd open a fire hydrant. They had these little things were like a water tap, big type, called fire hydrant. And they get a wrench, although they weren't the fire department. And they'd open it up and this water comes out this big, like a rocket ship. And then everyone would get wet, you know, because it's hot summer. And then they would flood a little bit of the street and jump around the water and turn it off. So this is a block party. So when these type of people came to Prabhupada's lotus feet in New York, they were used to block parties, they were used to love festivals, they were used to be-ins and happenings and dancing and music, lots of music. In those days in the 60s and 70s, young people go to the park and there's lots of music and lots of dancing. It was called celebration of life. And as I understood it to be. And there wasn't any idea of working and putting your nose to the grindstone. So when these people were coming to Prabhupada in 66, he says, yes, Krishna will dance on your tongue. He used all the appropriate, you know, phrases to catch their attention and connect them. He said, as we advance, he's telling them in May of 65, as we advance in chanting Hare Krishna, and they didn't know anything of it, they didn't know the four regular principles. Even they took initiation in 66, and they said, what is this Diksha thing anyway? I don't know, it's some kind of happening, you know. Guruji's going to make a fire, and It's like some kind of Indian rain dance or something. I don't know. It's happening tomorrow, but the only thing I know is after the fire, there's going to be a feast. All right. Well, are you going to take initiation? I don't know. Swamiji asked me, but I don't know what it is. But anyway, it sounds cool. So then they sat there and for the fire, and they got initiated. And then they, you know, after they got initiated, went across the street and ate some donuts made with eggs and smoked a few cigarettes and carried on. And Prabhupada saying, wait a minute, they don't seem to understand what this initiation means. And he writes on his, by hand, he writes, all initiated disciples must follow. And he read the four regular principles and chant Hare Krishna. So he posted this by hand. And everyone said, did you see that sign from Swamiji? You know, that's us, you know. He said, all initiated. And I think that was what that thing was yesterday. That was initiation. And we're like initiated now. And we're, look at all these rules. Oh my God, this is heavy, you know. Hey, I'm getting out of here. So many people left after the second day of initiation. So this is the kind of people Prabhupada is dealing with. So he's saying, listen, as we gradually realize, God is with us. And then and people were, you know, already thought they were God anyway. Induced by various, you know, types of goalies and other things. They would think, yes, I am God. So Prabhupada said, God is with you. God is dancing on your tongue. You see? Are you there? Because when the young people would take these psychedelic drugs and they would start soaring in the sky of illusion, and then the one person would say, hey, Ralph, are you there? Oh, I'm there, man. I'm really there. So Prabhupada is saying, you see, Krishna's dancing on your tongue. You see? You see? Because for Prabhupada, he's dancing on his tongue, and Prabhupada's seeing. And he's telling you, hey, are you there? You see? You see Krishna? No. 20 years later, no. 30 years later, no. Where? Are you there? No. So there means anyavilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam. Shuddha bhakti. Shuddha bhakata charana renu bhajana anukula. So this is an interesting entry here. I'm reading selected entries from this chapter of Shuddhanam. This is called Continuing Divine Descent of the Holy Name. It descends. When the Holy Name is pleased, it steps out from behind the curtain and says, here I am. I've been here all the time, just waiting for you. So this section is called Pure Name or Alphabet Soup. In case you're not familiar with what is alphabet soup, I will tell you. In case you don't know. Do you know what alphabet soup is? No. Well, in America, they sell packaged food. You know? And they have cans. Like you have tomato paste and pizza puri and all this stuff in jars and cans. You know, all this crap now in India. So they have canned soup. Campbell's canned soup. And they have celery soup and tomato soup. Then they have something called vegetable soup. So this is, inside that can, there's some tomato puree and all these things. But then they take noodles. They take, you know, noodle? You know, like spaghetti? Noodle? What do you say in Hindi? Noodle. What do you say? Noodles. Okay. So they take these noodles and then they shape them like the letters A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So the children, when they eat their soup, they can learn the alphabet. So it's called alphabet soup. So when you take a spoonful, in your spoon there's tomato, and then there's A, B, C, C, A, T. Oh, look, mommy, cat. You know, if you get C, A, and T in your soup spoon, you can say, look, cat. Oh, then the other one says, oh. Then you pick out in your soup bowl, D, O, G. Look, dog. Then you eat the dog. This is called alphabet soup. And so this is some background. Cultural education. Because Prabhupada said that ISKCON is an educational and cultural movement. Right? When a soul obtains the mercy of Ladini Shakti, Who is the personification of Ladini Shakti? Radha Rani. When a soul obtains the mercy of Ladini Shakti, he will realize his spiritual body and begin to chant the pure holy name. When Shudanam appears, he mercifully, Nam, Srinam, descends on the mind of the devotee and begins to dance on the tongue sanctified by devotion. So Bhaktivinoda is saying the same thing. The holy name is not a series of material syllables. It only seems to be material syllables when it dances on the tongue made of matter. This is the secret of holy name. So in other words, the holy name is always dancing. Prabhupada said in another place that Krishna is always dancing. So Krishna means his name also. But his holy name is also dancing when we chant, but because our tongue is made of matter, it is not pure. Because the tongue becomes pure by seva. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Navaved Graham Indriya. Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayameva Spuratida. Jiva means tongue, so the tongue becomes purified by Sevan Mukhehi Jivado. Then Spurti. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi. This Nam becomes Spurti, becomes manifest or seen when the tongue is pure. How does the tongue become pure? When it's always engaged in service, chanting the holy name, bhajan, and speaking about Krishna. So then, this, what we think is material, this dancing, we see this only material syllables are dancing on my tongue. And it's a very painful dance. My tongue hurts. When I chant the holy name with my material tongue and material name, it hurts. I don't like it. But when we chant the holy name, when we chant the holy name with a pure tongue or pure mind, then we love it. We like it so much we want thousands of tongues and thousands of ears, which is what Rupa Goswami writes in Vidagdha Madhav, in the Mangalacharan, and he's glorifying this name of Krishna. It is so much sweet, Madhuram Madhuram, that I want thousands of tongues and thousands of ears to chant this holy name. So now Prabhupada is, there's a similar quotation from Prabhupada. This is 1977. So we heard something from 1965. Now this is that which is the beginning of Prabhupada's campaign. 1965, Prabhupada's talking about when you chant the holy name, Krishna's with you. He will dance on your tongue. You see? And everyone said, no, Swamiji, we don't see. You see? And then, that was a quote from 65, and then we take 1977, and this is a quote from 77 in February. The devotees may chant, but they must understand the chanting process. Then their chanting will be more effective. That's why we have this book. Okay, everyone's chanting, but they must understand the process, the nam sadhana. What is the methodology? What is the way to chant the holy name? Then it will be more effective. Anyone, Prabhupada says, anyone can chant, but they must know it, that if I chant in the proper process, then it will be effective. There is one word by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, namakshara. Namakshara bahir hayanam nahi hai. Nam akshar. Akshar means syllable. This is a translation. Simply the alphabets are coming, but that is not nam. Nam akshar. Hare Krishna. The alphabets are coming out, but it is not the holy name. So this is pure name or alphabet soup. So we're producing a lot of alphabet soup every day. A, B, C, H, A, R, E. K-R-S-N-A, R-A-M-A. But the only solution is to keep eating soup. Keep eating soup and we'll get healthy. Under proper guidance. So Prabhupada is indicating here that one must be under guidance because anyone can chant, but they must know the process. So knowing, you learn generally, knowing something means you have a teacher or some books of enlightenment. Which means having a teacher, because the author of the book becomes your teacher. So that's why it says that this sambandha gyan is so much important for chanting. So without having sambandha knowledge about relationship, knowledge about the name, then our chanting is dragging on, not producing the sterling results that are promised by the acharyas and the various shastras. This particular entry is called Revelation via Nam. This is a very wonderful... In other words, this is a eyewitness account of Shuddhanam. What happens? So this is all what we say about sadhya. Sadhana, sadhya, brahm. To be in brahm, to be confused or an illusion about the process of sadhana. How do you do sadhana bhakti? How do you practice sadhana bhakti? And then, what is the goal? Why are we doing this? Where does it lead to? What is the purpose of it all? So that's the sadhya, the destiny, the goal, the conclusion, the final point, the culmination, the fruit of our endeavor. So he reveals what happens. So when we hear this, the experience of a pure chanter is extremely attractive, very interesting. So it captures the mind. Oh, this happens? This is what happens to someone when they chant pure name? They have such an experience? This is quite attractive. It's quite compelling. It's quite unique. Unlike anything I've ever experienced in this world before. And I thought I did so many things. So many friends, so many lovers, so many experiences, so much travel, so many sights I've seen. But I haven't seen anything like this. I haven't met anyone like this. And I haven't experienced anything like the Thakur is describing. So this is one entry from his Sharanagati. In his masterpiece of devotional poetry, known as Sharanagati, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes his encounter with Srinam. In the passage below, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how the holy name gradually reveals its transcendental splendor before the sincere sadhak who chants with faith and surrender. So it's a revelation, right? The revelation of Nam. May the devoted readers, or in this case, listeners, marvel at the Thakur's words and pray to Srinam to touch their hearts in the same wonderful way. I suppose many of you in the room have read this book already, but I wonder how much you've really read it and understood it. So that's why we're selecting very important sections from each chapter and recording it on this, on these tapes, so that people will get the essence and try to relate with the Thakur and identify. In other words, try to deeply enter into this listening of this narration, because it's very much appropriate to our situation. He takes us where we are now and to where we want to go. My heart is just like a desert, hot with the rays of the sun. This is my internal mental condition. The desire for temporary material things cannot satisfy me, because by nature, all these material things are death-producing. And not one or two, but thousands of such death-producing desires have taken shelter in my mind. So, my subconscious region is always burning. This is my condition. But somehow, by the grace of sadhu, of the sadhu and guru, the holy name of Krishna, with its infinite prospect, has entered through the holes of my ears and reached the plane of my heart, means a region. And there, with some peculiar hope, with infinite auspicious possibilities, this holy name has touched my heart with a new kind of nectar. New hope is aroused by that sound. Then by force, the sound comes from the heart towards the tongue. Not that by the endeavor of my tongue I am producing that sound. No. What came from my heart, what came from the heart of a saint through my ear entered my heart, and that transcendental sound forcibly appeared on my tongue and began to dance. That is the holy name proper. It descends from above. It cannot be produced by the material tongue. Its source is above, and through an agent of the Absolute, it comes through the ear to the heart. From the heart, it gathers some sympathy. Then the holy name of Krishna forcibly appears on the tongue and begins to dance. With great force, that sweet sound comes to the tip of the tongue and begins dancing. The real effects of the divine name have been described herein. If it is a real and living name, the voice will be choked up. In other words, when we're actually chanting the real and living name, our voice will choke up. There will be shivering in the body. The legs will be unable to stand. And sometimes tears will flow in a current on the body. One's hair will stand on end, and sometimes the body will change color. The material mind and consciousness will fade away, and we may fall in a swoon. Means unconscious. The whole body and mind will appear as if it's being attacked, shivering and influenced in different ways. This means ecstasy. Apparently, it may seem so many troubles are created in the body and mind, but the real heart is overflowing with a particular kind of strange, sweet juice. Sometimes a devotee thinks, I am swimming in an ocean of nectar. My whole existence is submerged in an ocean of nectarian ras. I am beside myself and cannot understand where I am. What is this? What is surrounding me? Am I going mad? Where is my past experience, my seriousness, my gravity? Where are they? I have been completely converted by a foreign element. I am a doll in the hands of a great force that is so affectionate to me. I cannot ascertain how it is possible that by my faith I have entered this great unknown environment. And at last I find that I am captivated. My entire being within and without has been captured and controlled by an especially sweet force. It is beyond description. I came to take shelter of him and accept him as my guardian. But now at his hands I am being dealt with in such a merciless and oppressive way. Still, I feel everything is very pleasing beyond my experience. I cannot resist anymore. I am fully captured. So let my faith go anywhere, but I cannot escape. I am captive in the hand of a sweet, loving friend. All my independence is gone, and I have no other choice but surrender. I find that he is an autocrat. He does whatever he wants. Since it's not possible for me to resist, I must surrender. Now I will cooperate and do whatever he wants. Meanwhile, I find that the holy name is like a blossoming flower, emanating wonderfully sweet streams. The holy name contains so many sweet variegated forms of currents within him. In different ways, he is wonderfully expressing himself. Sometimes he shows a peculiar type of color and form, and then disappears. So many charming aspects are revealed within, as he forces me to surrender at the base of that altar. He shows himself in his full-fledged form as he leads me to Vrindavan to witness his Brajlila with Radha. I find myself in the midst of his uniquely sweet and loving abode. He says to me,
You see, I have so many wonderful things, and this is your home. I am not imagination, but concrete reality. You will find that this environment is very sweet and favorable, and you should live here. I see that he is exchanging a variety of loving rasas with his many devotees. And I find that a spiritual body has emerged from my previous one, and that I have a permanent place there in his service. Such a new life I find here, that all considerations of my past life and experience have vanished. What he said is true. My real life is here, and my previous material life was a waste. Now I find that chanting the holy name gives me a new hope, a new prospect, and new encouragement. The name supplies whatever we want. All our internal hankerings will be fulfilled if we chant the name. The holy name is eternal, full of ecstasy, and it is the purest of the pure. I find I have been completely converted, and now my innermost hankering is this. Let whatever is against this sweet name vanish forever from the world. Everyone should come here. I am ready to sacrifice my life to finish any opposition, so that everyone can easily, peacefully, and fearlessly enjoy this absolute, sweet, and blissful life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. This is his Bengali poem called Sharanagati. And that's in English. You can imagine what the Bengali is like. So he's explaining how the name attracted him, purified him, filled him with happiness and ecstasy. Then the name took him to the spiritual world, showed him the spiritual world. He had darshan of Radha and Krishna and the spiritual world. Then he was awarded his spiritual body. And then he came out of that spurti. Then he started meditating on everything he saw and meditating on his spiritual body, astakalila, meditation, seva. And then he lost everything from this material world. He lost all attachment. And everything became the name. And then he became so much inspired by the name, he wanted to give the name to others and become a welfare worker. So this is very beautiful. This is everyone's birthright. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, everyone should become perfect. Everyone should attain prema. Everyone should realize their siddhadeya. And everyone should help others do the same. This is the teaching of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. It is one for all and all for one. It says that we attain perfection and help others. This is love. We receive the love of the Lord and become perfect. And upon receiving that perfection and love, we distribute to others. This is love. Love is always like this, giving and taking. This is a unique aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this distribution aspect. And oftentimes people, they criticize, why do you people preach? If someone wants to be God conscious, they will do it on their own. Why do you go out and preach and bother people, distribute books and do this Harinam? Leave us alone. If we want to turn to God, we'll do it. Because other people, no one preaches. Only Gaudiyas preach. Other Vaishnava Sampradaya, no one's going out there. Sri Vaishnavas or Madhvas, no one. They have their temples, they do their puja. You come and you listen to class. No one goes door to door with an armful of books. Village to village with vans and trucks and buses and backpacks and bags and bicycles and rickshaws and baby carriages. You know, in 75 when I lived in Los Angeles, every Saturday was Maha Sankirtan. So everybody went out. Everybody was part of the Prem Nam Sankirtan. The ladies, oh my baby. Acha, very nice. Here's one stroller. Put the baby in a stroller, and he's not very fat, so next to him put 25 Bhagavad Gitas in a stroller, and start strolling and selling Bhagavad Gitas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. That's the kind of love we had for Prabhupada. But now people say, oh, baby, 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 until the baby's 25, they don't do a damn thing. I'm very busy with my baby until they're married. So I can't do any preaching, any sankirtan, any bhakti, anything. Baby, baby, baby. The baby's 1 month old. The baby, 1 month old baby's in a stroller. He's got a little net over him so the bugs don't bite him. And then she keeps the Bhagavad Gita on the front side of the net, and she's pushing the stroller down the sidewalk. You know, sidewalk? So many malls and sidewalks where people walk. There's a road and there's a roadway for people, but here they drive motorcycles on. And then some people walk down there and go from shop to shop and mall to mall, and then they walk down there, oh, excuse me. Oh, this lady with the baby carriage, what does she want? Sir, this is for you, Bhagavad Gita. Really? What else? What do you have in your baby carriage? Well, I have my baby, see? So this is love. They received so much love from Prabhupada that they had to do it. They couldn't think, oh, my baby, I have to sit home in the AC and take care of my baby. And actually, they want to take care of themselves, but they use a baby as an excuse. Like people say, I say, come and go around Parikrama. Oh, my baby. How old's your baby? 10 years old. I said, all right, Baba, these 4-year-old kids are doing Parikrama over here. What is this? My baby's too small. Actually, what they're saying is, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go and go around Parikrama, so I blame it on my baby. This is an excuse. And then they think the sadhu is so dull, you know. I say, oh, yes, you better take care of your baby. Your baby's, I know the name of your baby also. No, you do. You do. I didn't tell you. No, I know his name. His name is Maya, M-A-Y-A, Maya. So many people I asked, and I say, oh, my child's too small. You know, he's only 10 years old, and it's too long to walk, and blah, 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 blah. It's too small. Okay, carry him on your shoulder. If he's 1 month old, okay, carry him. If he's from 1 month to 3, you carry him on your shoulder. You carry him half the way. Your husband carries him half the way. And he does Parikrama that way. And if he's 3, then he walks. This is what I've seen. You know, lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of 3-year-olds doing Govardhan Parikrama. But your 3-year-old is different. He's Punjabi. He can't walk. He can only walk from the bathroom to the living room. He can't walk around Govardhan. That's something extraordinary. The real thing is, I don't want to do it. I'm lazy, and I'm blaming Junior. It's a good thing I got Junior, otherwise I'd be in trouble. I better buy some more sweets for Junior, because he saved me from Govardhan Parikrama. And now the rickshawalas, because they didn't have all these rickshawalas before. 30 years ago when I started doing Parikrama, there was no rickshawalas out here, nothing. It was just Govardhan and the road. And people were still, the little kids were still walking. Now you can say, okay, Junior, walk for 100 meters, and if you can't make it, jump on the rickshaw, right? And still they say, oh, I can't do it. Anyway, that's a tangential point. But this is this is the such a beautiful statement here about the holy name. So personal and so individual. And this experience of Bhaktivinoda Thakura is universal. This is not one man's experience. It's not the one man that went to the moon and no one else ever gets a chance. Everyone can go to the moon. Everyone can hop in the spaceship of the holy name and have the same experience. This is what will happen. We'll feel submerged. Anandam buddhivardhanam, pratipadam purnamrita swaranam. We'll feel every step, pratipadam, step after step, I'm being bathed in an ocean of nectar. Everything he's being said here is simply his own poetic expression of shikshastakam. Shikshastakam, and Mahaprabhu was explaining shikshastakam, all the same points. In a brief way, what happens? The great treasures and benefits of chanting the holy name. So this is a very positive prospect, very an inducement. Yes, buy the product. Yes, I'm attracted. I want to take up this chanting. I want to experience this autocrat. And a lot of the things he said, one feels just when he comes to a temple and meets nice devotees. You know, the love of the devotees, he feels like, oh, I've been surrounded by so many nice devotees.
Ask a question.
Yeah.
Can one chant Shuddha Naam while practicing Vaidhi Bhakti?
Yeah, because Vaidhi Bhakti includes Raghunuga Sadhana. Because Raghunuga Sadhana goes up to Rati. Right? And then there's Bhava Bhakti. Bhavan Prem. So, Vaidhi Sadhana, after Vaidhi Sadhana comes Bhava Bhakti. You know, nectar devotion. And Prema Bhakti, the same thing. Bhava Bhakti and Prema basically the same.
Although they're seen in three divisions, but really it's like it's also going to be seen in two. So Raghunu Gusadhana, that goes up to Bhava. So one begins to chant Shudanam at the level of Ruchi, Asakti, like that. So, yes? Sadhana Bhakti, not Vaidhi Sadhana. You said Vaidhi?
I said Vaidhi.
No, I didn't hear right now. Sadhana Bhakti.
What about Vaidhi Sadhana?
Vaidhi Sadhana, this is a Tanishta. Generally, Aracharyas say that Raghunugat Sadhana usually begins at Nishta. Because then there's some rag. Otherwise, it's imitation rag. It's not really genuine. It's not genuine greed. It comes and goes. You have rag sometimes. You're really into all the deep shastras about Vrindavan, and then some nice girl comes along. It's like, well, okay, put that over here for a while. So this is not real rag. Like shadow rag. And that's what you see many times. So this type of rag is a byproduct of nishta. What is the symptom of nishta? Yeah, you're right. You're not a piece of nishta. That one is always chanting the holy name. And also, not only nishta, because it's not like black and white, because nishta also includes ruchi, right? Because after nishta comes ruchi. It's not like, okay, nishta, then ruchi. Nishta and mixed with ruchi. In the beginning, there's nishta with ruchi abhas, reflection of ruchi. And then as nishta gets deeper, nishta can only get deeper to the point where kirtaniya sadari, this is the level of nishta, according to Mahaprabhu. This happens when ruchi comes. Nam ruchi comes. But you're getting nam ruchi, but you're at the level of nishta. But you're not on the level of ruchi and bhajan. There's more qualifications of that, more sakti and more rag. So there's like, you know, it's not like black and white. It's like infrared to ultraviolet. Shraddha the prema is like infrared to ultraviolet. So there's so many color bands in between. For example, at the level of anartha nivritti, there's also some bhav there. There's also some ruchi there. There's also some asakti there, but nothing like a drop. Bhava means feelings. We can't do any kind of bhakti if there's no feeling. And if you do, then you can't go anywhere. You just stay forever. That's why it's always enjoying. We should do feelingly serve Krishna. This is told to the bhakta. Chant with feeling, serve with feeling. Oh, don't cutting the vegetables. No, Krishna's a person, and you think you're doing this for Krishna. You don't do it nicely. He's a person. Oh, yeah, he's a person. Okay. Because so often the new bhakti gets into mechanical approach. So then the guru and teachers are always trying to remind him, Krishna's a person. Why you? This is how you clean the pots. It's all dirty. You know, Krishna's a person. Why you make so crappy like this? It's not your pots. These are Krishna. He's a person. He'll see these pots. Oh, okay. In Leelamrita, you must have read, or maybe read or can read, that one lady, Janaki, Yamuna's sister, she came to visit the temple after the Sunday feast, and she said, Swamiji, can I do some service? He said, yes, clean the pots. So she's in the kitchen cleaning the pots, and then he said, when you're done, you show me. So she cleaned one pot, and she brought the Prabhupada, and it was like perfectly clean. Bottom, people don't even think the bottom is supposed to be clean, most people. The bottom? You know, where the flame is. You have to clean that? Most people have this kind of idea. You clean the inside. So she cleaned everything. And then she brought the promise. Oh, look at that spot. And she couldn't see anything. It's an aluminum pan or whatever it was, pot. And it was spotless, she thought. The prophet said, look here. And like with his microscopic eyes, you know. He said, see that little spot there? Oh, I missed that prophet. Yep, go back, clean. She cleans and cleans and comes back. And then shows, I said, prophet, how about now? Let's see, let me see. And he's like looking like this and like that. No. Like this. And it's like, oh, look at this. Oh, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told her, said, remember, Janaki, these are Krishna's pots, you know, Krishna's a person, and any spot is there, then some germs, and Krishna's like a little boy, maybe he gets sick, you know, it has to be spotless. You know, these are not ordinary pots, these are spiritual pots. These are not your pots in your dirty, filthy kitchen in Delhi. This is the deity kitchen. This is the deity's pots.